Hi, Cooper.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good.
Good. Oh, my gosh. Here we are.
Doing it.
Doing it. Doing a podcast.
Yep.
Perfect time to be doing something like
this.
Yeah, you know?
Cooped up in our studio.
Yes, I know, but I would love that we have a studio like this to be cooped up in. Edit together some episodes, you know, like my interview with J.D. Eicher.
I do love some J.D.
Oh, me too. He's the bomb. And full of personality. And I'm so glad I got a chance to sit down with him and interview him about his upcoming album. And he was talking about his tour a little bit and some things in the future. But just let my listeners know, this was recorded prior to the virus, you know, taking over our lives. So there's, you'll just notice a few things in the podcast that might not be up to date or accurate because, you know, things have changed, dates have changed and that sort of thing. But JD was performed at Rhythm and Bruce here in Appleton, which was very exciting.
Oh, so fun.
Oh, amazing show.
Yes.
You know, the stories. I loved it. I loved
He is so funny to listen to.
I know.
He always rips on himself for, you know, talking too much. And then he's like, but I'm not changing. And I'm like, yes, please don't.
Yeah, don't.
We like the story.
It's a perfect amount of chemistry and musicianship on stage. Yeah. You know, like, you talk, so, sir.
It lets you, get to know the artist a little bit, too, without taking up all the time at the end or waiting to talk to him. He kind of, like, shows his character and personality.
And I enjoyed getting to know JD with recording the podcast because I thought he told some amazing stories, you know, on stage that were entertaining.
Yeah.
And, you know, just it pulled you in, you know. But then I listened to him in the interview and I was just like, it was almost like another side of him.
Okay.
But a positive good side, you know. But you hear about a little bit more, you see a little bit more of the comical side on stage. But I think this interview draws you into, you know, why he loves the music a little bit more. And just listening to him talk about it, I really appreciated that.
Yeah,
so,
but
I'm very excited to have him in the show. We did have a few hiccups just to warn people about. You know, I was sick during this recording or at the end of being sick. So I powered through and did this. And JD and I could just give, you know, shoulder taps. You know, I really wanted to hug him.
Well, no hugging.
No hugging.
No huggy.
And this was even prior to the no hug rule. But we were just being cautious.
Cautious, you know?
So, and then in the middle of the podcast, the recording just stopped on me.
Oh,
you know, but I live
surprise.
And learn. You know, I was like, what? Huh? No. But with some crafty editing, I don't think you're going to notice in the episode, but I wanted to just make you aware of that.
Maybe because you didn't allow the producer in the room.
Well, you
I
know.
Mean, just saying.
Anyways, guys. what else was I gonna say? Oh, and on that note, again, my podcast is never perfection. You know, I'm always learning and trying to make it better and better quality, sound, content. And so one thing I forget to do for myself and for the guests is remind both of us, you know, about the microphone. It's a bit sensitive, so sometimes if you hear a little jostling, please just forgive me. I don't think it's too bad, and I don't even want to bring it to your attention because you might not even notice it. But I'm just sharing with the world how you experience and learn and grow from
a little your background into podcast world.
Yes, a lot goes into it, and I got to remember these things. So I'm very excited to have JD on the show and for you to get a chance to listen to this wonderful interview. I want my listeners to pay attention to when he talks about the song Edgar Green's Time Machine.
Oh.
I thought this was a really cool story, and it was a result of your very good question that you suggested for him.
I am pretty good at questions.
You are, yeah. You get some really good answers from your questions. So
I like to dig deep.
I know, and I thought this was an amazing answer, reply to that question. So stay tuned for all that ahead. We'll play a few J.D. Eicher songs throughout the podcast as well. And so on the other side of this song is J.D. Eicher.
Yay!
Say goodnight, but I don't wanna be awake any longer. I hope you never close. for you. I've been looking for you.
Got JD Eicher on the show.
What's up?
Thank you for coming on.
Man, my pleasure. Thanks
all
for having
right.
me.
Yeah, no problem. Glad to have you here.
Yeah.
You just performed at the Rhythm and Brews series here in Appleton.
Yeah.
How's it feel to be back in Appleton?
It's awesome. Yeah. I know it sounds kind of pandery or whatever, but Appleton is just awesome. People are so kind. There's like a disproportionate amount of support for music here, and it's almost suspicious. I don't know what you guys are up to, but I do. It's really nice to see that kind of thing and to know that there are little spots along the way.
Yeah, right.
Where people really do care about live music like this. It's really cool.
Cool. Yeah, we really appreciate the music, and we like to see that you guys keep coming back through. So.
Man, yeah. Thank you. We'd love to keep coming through. This is great.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good to hear.
Thanks.
I'll talk about a few things like your new music coming up here and Mile of Music in just a second, but I kind of want to take it back to the beginning for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
When I first saw and met you was during the Rad Dad tour.
Yeah, right.
Which, if any listeners aren't aware, this was a tour that featured Dan Rodriguez.
Oh, I'm sure they heard about the tour.
Matt Hires.
World tour, you know.
Yeah, and yours truly, JD Eicher here. Yeah. So, my producer and myself were super excited for Dan Rodriguez and Matt Hires, but we really didn't know of you at that point.
That's a common occurrence with me.
But I will say, in the confines of the podcast, I think you're our favorite now.
Oh, wow.
So,
Tour,
it really did wonders for your career.
Oh, I'm honored. Thank you. Jeez. Okay, cool. Well, that's great.
I mean, anyways, in all seriousness, no, we really love the tour, all three of you guys together.
It was a blast.
It was an awesome show. So
thanks. Yeah, those guys are fantastic. Matt Hires, and I always joke about how when I first met Matt, I was totally like fangirling because I used to teach his, he had a couple of hits way back when, and I used to teach one of his songs to guitar students when I was just kind of getting started out of school.
Okay.
And so it was surreal to go from like showing, 13-year-olds how to play his chords to then being on tour with him. And I was a fan, the whole time. So it was really cool. And then Dan and I met on the Rock Boat a couple of years ago and just became fast friends and wrote a song together in Nashville. So it was really cool. We just had an immediate dynamic that was fun. And
all right.
I hope I get to do some stuff with those guys again. That was really a blast.
You wrote a song with Dan, huh?
We did, yeah.
Something that you guys performed together? Or?
Nah, we wrote it for, sometimes you do these songwriting sessions and they're for other things. So like this was for like TV ads and that sort of thing. So it's more of a commercial type thing.
Gotcha.
And it's been like so close a couple times, I guess, but it's never landed on TV, but we're still holding out some hope on it. But.
Well, I think, there's hope. And you two both have very distinct voices. So the day we hear, I'm going to be like, those are our boys right
Thanks.
There.
It'll be Dan singing it. So.
Yeah. Oh, really? Dan. Okay.
It's kind of funky. Okay. He just has he's got this kind of sauce for the funk stuff. So he was the guy for to actually sing it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool. So that was your first experience in Appleton, was the Rad Dad tour?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have to see what it's all about here, huh?
Yeah, man. And it was awesome that night. And that was the last night of that run. And so, it was a little bit, I don't know, I was a little bit bummed. It wasn't a super long tour. And I was a little bit bummed to kind of part ways with those guys. But we hit it off. It was cool.
Yeah. Maybe you could do it again down the road.
That's definitely I shouldn't say it's in the works, but it gets flirted with occasionally here and there. Okay. We're like, what if we, but it's amazing. It's hard enough to get two artists lined up, schedule wise.
Yeah.
So, for all three of us, it'd be tricky, but I hope so. I hope we can do it again.
Very cool. Way. We look forward to it.
Thanks.
You next came to the Valley then for Mile 7 of Mile of Music.
Yeah.
I'm curious how you became aware of Mile of Music.
So actually through that Appleton show, on the Rad Dad tour, then it was affiliated at least loosely with Mile Music Presents, mm-hmm. they were supportive of the show and helped us out kind of getting the word out. And And I basically told Dan, I was like, you know, Dan Rodriguez has been involved with this for a long time in the Mile community. I was like, Dan, I would like to meet the people who are involved with this sort of thing because there's something good going here. So he kind of introduced me through that into the Mile world, and that's kind of how it started and figured out the booking for the festival and everything. But very cool. Very, very grateful to him and the Mile for letting me do it. This has been awesome.
Well, yeah, we were very excited to see you on the lineup as well. So thanks, man. It was very cool that you came back.
Thanks.
Did you have any favorite experience, moment, or performance from Mile 7 that stands out?
All these months later? Yeah, yeah. There were a couple cool ones. The first show was, let me think if I can think of the name of the, Copper Rock Brewing.
Okay.
It's a coffee shop.
Coffee shop across the street here,
yeah.
Actually. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. So you can walk there from here. Yep. Yeah. And so that's where, that was the first gig. And if I remember right, I got up early that day in Ohio. Yeah. And then I think I must have gotten up early and hauled here. So I was kind of beat because it was an early start. And I got here and just drove straight by myself. So I was kind of tired. And I was worried. I had no idea what I was getting into. You know, it was like 6 or 7 sets. And, you know, I heard it was awesome, but, you know, you don't know. So I was like a little nervous. Like, I hope this works out. I hope people are at this show. I don't know what to expect. And then you get to Copper Rock and there's like, and they weren't there for me. It was just people that were there to hear music in that room over and over again. But they were like, you know, every seat was full. I don't know what sits in there, maybe 100 people, 120 people. Yeah, they really kind of cram in there. And just right out of the gate, it was like everyone was like very welcoming. People came up before I started and they're like, hey, we looked up the music ahead of time. And it was just from that moment on, I was just, I had never been in an event where like people were that invested, and particularly in the music, you know what I mean? Like, it was just cool. So then and you play a ton, so I had another show I think that night, and then 2 or 3 the next day, and another couple, and it was a lot. But every show was cool, and some of them kind of built on each other. And then there was a Bose did this tiny house stage. They did this little tiny house stage, and Jamie Kent was kind of like a guest artist who was kind of like put that stage together and hosted it. And so they had some like Bose towers up outside, and it was kind of like tucked away from the, you and I, we walked over there together. Yeah, we were there. That was fun. Yeah.
Actually caught Dan there.
Yeah, that's where we went to see Dan Rodriguez. Man, this is all tying right back together.
Right.
But yeah, so it was just, that was a cool show. So I played there and it was dark, and so they had like the, you know, the cafe lights kind of like strung out into the trees. And it was just, I just remember it being like really, you know, kind of serene. And I don't know. I walked away very encouraged from that whole event. That was like one of those events where you walk away and you're like, man, people treated you like a real artist. And sometimes, you know, you get treated like, oh, here's a guy, he plays guitar. But then sometimes you get treated like, you know, people really are paying attention. That was one of those experiences. It was cool. Nice.
Man. I feel like Mile always recharges your batteries a little bit.
Totally.
You know, when you go there, your enthusiasm for the music is kind of kicked in
again. Yeah. You know, so. Amen. Yeah. I was playing some new songs, and people were just super like receptive, and I did exactly that. I walked away and I was like, yeah, I do like this job a lot.
Right. You know,
like, yeah. So
super to hear. I'm moving on to your music now a little bit. Mm-hmm. You released 2 new songs that I'm aware of that'll be a part of your upcoming album. One of them being Evergreen.
Yeah.
And that was recently featured on Sirius XM.
Yeah.
So I was kind of curious how you found out about your song being on Sirius. And what that must have felt like.
Right. Yeah. So, well, it's a great opportunity. I've never had that happen. So it was really cool. Train's lead singer, Pat Monahan, has this show called Train Tracks on The Pulse, which is like, it's Channel 15 on Sirius.
Yeah.
So,
I listened to it quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. It's a great station.
When you had posted about your song being on there, I usually organically listen to the show. And so I've heard other artists from, you know, Mile kind of be on there.
Oh, that's cool.
If I had organically heard, I was ready to hear it this time, but I would have just, my jaw would have dropped if I was like,
that's cool. That's awesome, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. No, it's a great, it's a cool station. Same thing. I've listened to it a bunch. I don't have a car I have a very, you know, my car is pretty stripped back. It's not to brag or anything, but it's a 2009 Nissan Sentra in silver. So I'm sure you're impressed, but has like 250, almost 260,000 miles.
I'm right there with you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I have a Jeep Commander 07. That's kind of about 245,000.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Dang. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. 2 road warriors here. Yeah.
It's on the end of its life, but I digress.
No, that's, I got the same deal. But, anyway, so I don't have it, but my my dad has it in his car, and you know, rental cars and stuff. That's usually I kind of flip between the Pulse and Coffee House when I'm on Sirius. But
okay.
So anyway, to get it on that show, so Pat receives I don't know what he reviews, but a pretty big chunk of songs every week or every couple weeks, and then selects from those songs. So we submitted, and we're very lucky to get our song kind of to his ears, and he was kind enough to play it.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a great opportunity. That's one of those things. The song was the song before it got on that thing, but there is a nice, you get kind of like some sort of validation or, you know, feeling like, all right, we're doing the right thing. It got on Sirius, you know?
Right.
So it was cool to have that happen. So we're hoping we can kind of, you know, that'll lead to more opportunities. Who knows? People are like, well, how do you do? I'm like, I don't know how any of this works, this industry thing. I am totally lost to it, but that seemed like a good opportunity. So,
right. Absolutely. You know? Very cool.
Thanks.
Well, Evergreen is quickly becoming one of my favorite song of yours.
Thanks.
I mean, you're receiving a lot of love and praise for it from what I can see, you know.
Thanks.
In your fan base and everything.
Uh-huh.
I'm just wondering if you could share any personal insights into the making of that song.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that song is definitely special for me and the band too. I wrote it for my parents. My dad turned 70 recently, so we've been having these talks, and I can just kind of tell he's freaking out a little bit about getting old. And you know, 70 isn't that old. 70 is like the new 50.
Yeah,
you know, that's why I keep saying it. And he's like if he's 70, he's a young 70, you know what I'm saying? But you know, you can just kind of see in his eyes he's a little afraid of, you know, mortality is more in it's more front and center now, with the 70 to his name. So it made me think about both his and my mom's mortality, but also kind of just what, you know, you get into the existential questions and what is life all about. And I don't know, they are really good people. I got lucky with my parents, and pretty much anything good about me is due to them, I think, you know. And and then I also think, you know, there's stuff that I don't like about me, everyone has that, and I get a chance, I have a little daughter, Ellie, and I get a chance to kind of maybe direct her away from those tendencies, the things that maybe I don't like that, you know, she might have a tendency toward as well.
Sure.
Personality wise and so, you know, you realize that you get your shot at being the best person you can, and kind of being the best person you can for those around you. And so the idea of Evergreen in the context of the song is just, you know, we all kind of have people, whether they're our parents or our friends or whatever, who are, you know, Evergreen in our lives. And it could be somebody you talk to for 20 minutes, but you just remember what they said for the rest of your life. But those things that are Evergreen, you know, we're lucky when we get those moments with people. I think that's really what our legacy is, you know. I mean, I always joke, you know, yeah, of course you could, if you have the money to do a hospital wing, you're going to get your name on a plaque somewhere on a wall,
yeah,
you know. But, like, the truth is, you know, if Uncle Chuck donates a hospital wing, that's awesome. But, like, people are going to talk about Uncle Chuck, like, was he cool or not? You know,
right,
what
right.
was he like?
Yeah.
And, like, so, you know, we get this shot to be the best thing we can for everybody. And so it's just a tribute to people who are Evergreen, you know.
I love it. That's I love the concept, you know.
Thanks.
And I think it's a great song. I especially was listening to it this time around watching you perform it live, which is also another experience from just listening to it. But the verse is towards the end where you're talking, you relate things to, like, I think it's something like laugh of your father's father.
Uh-huh.
Like, when is that how that goes, that lyric?
The laughter of my daughter is the heart of my father's father.
Yeah, like the way you chain everything together in that verse.
Thanks.
I thought was really cool. So,
thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. Thanks.
So, and that song is going to be featured on your latest album coming up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an EP coming out April 9th. Yeah.
Yeah. And
did your research?
I did my research. Yeah. Awesome. April 9th is titled Court Street, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, tell me about the title of this.
Like, yeah.
Why Court Street?
It's pretty simple. We just, the studio we worked at on this record is called Court Street Recording. It's literally on Court Street.
Oh, okay.
But the record we put out before this one, it was called the Compass EP. And it was kind of like after having, I had a band for three records, and then I did this solo record and an EP. And it was kind of just, Compass EP was kind of like me trying to reevaluate or reset and find like a direction, you know? And so, kind of playing off of that, then Court Street, you know, this record is kind of, I found to be like, you know, as cheesy as it is, kind of like my true north. You know, we kind of in the process of floundering for your sound, we kind of landed on this tone that and this vibe that really feels right. And what it is this record is like a return to form. The first albums that I did were just me and a band in a room playing live together. And I got away from that slowly for a number of reasons, somewhat financial, you know, it's cheaper to record in layers but also just, you know, sonically, I've experimented with different types of pop and things like that. But at the end of the day, the reason I got into playing music was because I loved writing songs, and then the synergy that happens when you know, play them live in a room with other people, and all those ideas kind of come together. And so anyway, so we got back to that. And so Court Street is kind of like where the compass points, so to speak. So I thought, you know, actually having a street and kind of sticking with that directional thing sure. worked. And then also the guy who owns Court Street has become like a really good friend, and it's in my hometown. Of Canfield, Ohio, which is, I'm from Youngstown, kind of near Cleveland, but Canfield's like the suburb that I grew up in. Okay. And literally the studio popped up, and it's like walking distance from where my parents live and like my childhood home. And it's like world class. This guy worked for Sony in Nashville for like 15 years. He moved back to the area. He was originally from home, and it's just, it was like hitting the lottery to finally have a studio of that quality with an engineer that great. Right next door, and I, you know, the band could go and we could afford it, you know.
Right,
and so yeah. it was awesome. So I also we wanted to name it Court Street to give kind of a nod to his name's Michael Estock, who owns the place and helped produce the record, kind of give him a nod and you know, give us an excuse to talk about that place and kind of help spread the word, because it's like just such a great studio. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, he deserves, I hope people, he's got some folks traveling in now, but it's just, it's the kind of place that, you know, should boom, you know, people should know about it. So hopefully this will be that's a little way to help with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, any way to kickstart that. Yeah, I think it's right. awesome.
Yeah, thanks.
And you took the question right out of my mouth, my next question, in regards to like your other albums versus this album, because Compass is a favorite of mine, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Cool. Thank you.
But I was going to ask the difference between Compass and going into your new album, and you said all that. So awesome.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. Yeah.
I don't have to ask it. I just wanted to say that. So.
Yeah. Compass is kind of like it was me like really embracing the pop side of what I love. I really like really shiny pop, and I like earthy, you know, acoustic guitar and that kind of thing. And so Compass was kind of that like necessary diversion a little bit to do a couple pop things, but yeah, I'm kind of embracing the idea that at the end of the day, you know, I really am a singer-songwriter, and I can only hide behind beats for so long before you know the truth will come out. This guy really feels most at home with the guitar, so
sure.
kind of return to form, yeah.
Right. Well, I think that's why I like you so much too, though, is you have the flexibility to do all the different
things.
Thanks. It sounded really good doing it. So
thank you.
Yeah,
I appreciate it, man. I love all kinds of stuff, so it's nice to float around a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Is there any other insights in your album or the songs on the album that you want to talk about, share with listeners?
Yeah, we did Evergreen. The song I Don't Want to Be Right is the other single that's out currently, and that's a band favorite to play live. We're excited. It got on a Spotify their Fresh Folk playlist, which is for us is a nice thing. We haven't had that luck really, so for them to kind of be noticed by Spotify, we're excited about. So that's cool. But
Spotify and Sirius in the past, you know.
Yeah, right.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Hey? Yeah, we're honestly feeling lucky right now. Hopefully, we can keep that wave going. But yeah, it's a bunch of songs that are just they're pretty personal, and they really do kind of center on home. I mean, literally, it opens up with a song called "I'm Coming Home." You know, the next one's Evergreen, which is about family. I Don't Want to Be Right's a little bit more personal, and then there are a couple. There's Kid, which is another kind of internal thing, and then there's a couple relationship songs. So it's very like, back to the diary. It's like every once in a while I'll do these story songs, or kind of like these. I'll allow myself to get out of my own orbit and write some songs like that. So it's nice to every once in a while kind of like come back to, you know, back to the diary, the journal, you know, back to the personal stuff. So but
very cool.
Yeah,
very
thanks.
Nice. I always ask my producer, Cooper, as she's known, if she has a question for the artist, and she wants to know one of the oddest, most memorable inspirations you've had for a song you wrote.
Okay, though this is definitely odd. I have a song called Edgar Green's Time Machines. It's on an older record back in the day when I had the full band early on, I'm exposing a lot of my nerddom right now. But my dad reads a bunch of these fantasy novels, kind of like Lord of the Rings, but way deeper down the rabbit hole in that world. And so when I was younger, he would recommend the ones he liked. So some of these would be like series that are like, you know, 9 books deep, each one's 1,000 pages. I mean, we're talking about serious nerddom stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm, you know, I liked it. So, but he would recommend them to me and I would read them. But I thought it would be cool to try to do like some sort of fantasy type of theme or whatever in a song, and try to pull off more or less like the bones of a story like that within a song. So Edgar Green's Time Machines is this song, and it's about this guy who he's traveling through time. He's already seen the future, and he knows how the world ends, and he's going back through time trying to influence it so that we don't destroy ourselves, basically. Oh. And it's I guess it's another like existential thing at the end of the day. But you don't really know if he fixed it or not. you know, but you kind of fall. Anyway, it was a cool challenge to try to write a song like that. So I tried to actually make it make sense and stuff. And it's certainly odd. So okay, cool. There you go.
I like it.
You're like, okay, man.
No, wow. I want to make sure I give this. I've listened to you fairly enough on Spotify. So now yeah. I want to make sure I go back and really thanks. Catch this song. What album is that on?
It's called Into Place.
Edgar Green stands there humming. Underneath the streetlight, he looks along the tap in the transformer and down the line into his basement. He's gonna draw this whole damn street out with those two old dusty magnets, but he knows he won't be here to hear them and all their damn complaining. Only laughs in Ed's direction.
but no one's words can break his smile. He knows he's either crazy or just maybe he did it.
All right, so we're back here with J.D. Eicher. A few technical difficulties, but no, we'll power through all that as we power through coronavirus. I'll leave it at that, huh?
Yeah.
As I asked you earlier, that you have a strong and encouraging fan base with an epicenter being their group on Facebook. Do your super fans have a nickname?
Yes. There is a group that has named themselves the Eicher Likers, and it's a little polarizing, you know. Yeah, I think some people really like that name. It rhymes. I gotta hand it. It's good branding. But yeah, some folks would rather just be considered supporters, you know. Okay. So we don't push it too hard. I'm not like walking around like, where are my Eicher Likers at? I don't do any of that stuff. I'm not very non kind of the opposite of Bieber world, okay. You know. So it's very low key, but they do go by Eicher Likers.
I like it. Them, so. That's very cool.
Yeah. So.
You gotta have a good backing, and
honestly, there's like this Facebook group, and those folks use it to coordinate, you know, if they're going to shows or you know, they share videos and stuff, and it's really cool. That I'm just pumped, and I know some friendships have formed through that whole community, so it's obviously flattering, but it's also just really cool that, you know, people are kind of coming together around this. It's cool. It's
sure.
Very encouraging.
Very cool. I'm not an official member of that fan group, but I think I need to get on board.
What the hell, Drew?
I know,
yeah, it's
right?
Time. Jeez.
I know. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it.
I can get you in this.
Oh, really? So,
yeah, no problem.
Yeah? All right. Good. Among the many great things that make up JD Nation, including your fan base, there's also JD TV, and then you have your own music festival titled Songfest,
mm-hmm.
which you recently just announced for this year. I'm wondering if you could tell us a little bit about Songfest.
Yeah. The JD Nation's very generous titling.
You know,
I do. Yeah, we throw this little music fest in August every year. It's always the weekend before Labor Day weekend, and so and it's kind of this boutique. It focuses on singer songwriter acoustic style music, so it's a little bit more laid back. If we have a band, they usually strip down a little bit to, you know, maybe percussion kit and you know, fewer electric guitars, that sort of thing. So it's more a focus on the song and the story, and we usually keep it to like between 4 and 6 acts that day. So if you're an attendee, the idea is, you know, you can bring a lawn chair. We have some seating. You can come, and it's very much like a giant outdoor listening room. And I kind of wanted something that was like an answer to, like, you know, the sweaty, like, shoulder to shoulder, everyone's kind of fighting for a spot, kind of that music festival vibe, which can be really fun. But I wanted to have kind of an opposite or an alternative where you could go and you could sit down and kind of camp for the day. And people are really listening, and the vibe is like on the song and the story behind the song, or just a little bit more conversational.
Yeah.
So it's fun. We usually feature a couple regional acts, and then we have some repeats and some mainstays that we cycle through, and there are like some friends from the road that I want people to hear, or you know, that I you know, hope to get into the Youngstown scene, and then also we'll bring a headliner through each year. So we've had acts like the Ken and Drew from Sister Hazel, Red Wanting Blue, Will Hogue. This year we have Stephen Kellogg, which we're really excited about. But these, you know, usually the headliners are like, you know, they're like kind of role models in the scene, and all those guys that I mentioned are just super kind, and they're you know, like Stephen Kellogg, who's coming through, he's a really sweet guy, and he's a family man, and I feel like some of these acts, and you know, everyone I just named, all those headliners, they're really supportive of other artists, and so you know, we just try to kind of, I'm excited to kind of get those folks through Youngstown and be like, hey, here's a group of people that are going to really appreciate you, that maybe will stick with you.
Sure.
And so it's kind of, that's the idea, it's good for me, obviously, you know, I can promote an event, and but it's also a chance to kind of expose people to new music or artists that maybe they've missed for whatever reason. Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. I really look forward to that event. It's another one, you know, kind of like Mile, where you walk away, and hopefully as a listener, you feel like the bands or the acts really appreciated you as a listener. And then as a band, you hopefully are encouraged that, you know, that there are communities like that, that, you know, are still, you know, coming out for live music.
Sure.
You hear about the old days, and I'm like, man, was it really like that? But there are still but there really are still pockets of people that really do come out like that and support music. So
absolutely,
I'm trying to kind of build that in Youngstown.
It's good to hear. Yeah, it's all over the place. We get in a little bubble here in Appleton sometimes. Uh-huh. You know,
well, this is a strong one. This is a very strong one. It's inspiring, honestly. But yeah, Youngstown, you know, we just didn't have like a singer-songwriter scene. I don't, you know, to speak of, I don't think. And then, so this started off as a free, and then, you know, the goal now, as we've added headliners, is just to keep it very affordable. So the whole day, you know, it's $12 for an advance ticket, $15 at the gate. So, I mean, it's really, to get, you know, the tickets don't even pay for the acts. We get sponsorships to help cover it, but we just want to keep it affordable so that folks can like not really worry about, you know, it's just more of a thing for the community on the whole. So it's been fun. Honestly, it's been cool watching it grow. And I think Youngstown's starting to kind of get behind it, which is cool. So
very cool.
I'm hoping it keeps going.
I think it'll be great. How long have you been doing that?
This is year six coming up.
Year six.
So far, so good. You know, we've got like a master's degree at this point after this year.
Sure.
You know,
right.
Undergrad and 2 years, master's. Yeah. So everything to me is like, what could I have gotten in academia if I spent time elsewhere? You know what I mean? I don't want my mom to know that I'm thinking of it like that, you know, but she'd like me to be maybe like a doctor, but here I am writing songs.
Hey, someone's got to do it, and you do a pretty damn good job of it.
Thanks. Thanks, man.
Not too many questions left here. I was just curious if you have any ideas, since you just came back to Appleton, when you might return to Appleton. This is my TMZ question.
Oh yeah. You know what? Honestly, I'm hoping that we get a chance to do Mile again, but, but honestly, there's nothing on the books. So I'm hoping, you know, I'm hoping I can, you know, do the appropriate amount of flirting and stay on the radar. Maybe they'll be up for having us back. But, I would love to be a regular in Appleton. I mean, it'd be cool just to come through, hopefully a couple times a year and just get to see everybody and keep growing the whole thing here. Cause this is definitely on the radar for us. We cool. really feel, just, you know, well received and welcomed here, and we want to keep that going. So
very cool. Well, it was great to have you back, and with your drummer Dylan.
Thanks. Yeah, he's awesome.
Too, so nice seeing you two go to perform together on stage. So.
Thanks. Yeah, I love that guy, Dylan. He was playing a suitcase drum kit.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a fascinating story to hear about that.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the man. I'm lucky. We're four piece when we have the full band, but everybody in this band is all my guys I get to work with are just really good dudes, and so it's great traveling with them. We all get along, and it could be a real, you know, it could be a crapshoot when you're on the road and you're living arm length away from somebody, you know, shoulder to shoulder like that for that long.
But, I can imagine that's gotta be, you got some good stories, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't ask you to tell anyone.
Yeah, they're all illegal, so no.
All right, and my last question, when you're not working on your own music, is there any music, current music, album, anything like that you're listening to?
Yeah, it's kind of all over the place. Like the classics that I like are like, you know, Paul Simon. I always get back to the Beatles or, you know, some of these older bands, Queen and stuff. But I've been listening to Jacob Collier. He's kind of a cool, experimental, very intellectual kind of singer-songwriter guy that I like a lot. Johnny Lang, he's a blues player that I really enjoy. He's cool. I like James Bay. Some of his stuff is cool. Brandon Flowers from from the Killers.
Yes.
His solo stuff.
I didn't know he had solo stuff.
Yeah, he does. Oh. And it's not super new. I don't think he's got anything super recent, but he has two records out that are awesome. I always go back to those. Singer-songwriter Rustin Kelly. If you've heard of him, he's really good out of Nashville. And then I have a bunch of buddies like Steve Everett, Paul Fowle, and you know, Dan Rodriguez, who came up, and Matt Hires. And I listen to all, you know, my pals too. So we kind of, if I get on the road, I'll have this rotation through all my friends and see what they're up to too. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I really am fans of like a lot of the bands I get to tour with, which is kind of a cool place to be. I get to, you know, see how the sausage is made for some of my favorite songs.
Right. Sure.
And usually it's good. It's not as grotesque as actually making sausage. So it's good. They're all good dudes.
Good to know. Yeah.
Good people. Yeah. What a weird way of saying that.
No, it's a great way to end the podcast.
Yeah, let's end on the meat processing industry.
Well, is there anything else you'd like to share with listeners out there? Anything else coming up?
You know, well, I'm staying hopeful because, you know, right now we're this virus thing and everything.
Sure.
Everything's a little bit more questionable, but we are planning to tour Europe in April. in Switzerland, Austria, Germany. We have a record coming out, as we talked about, on April 9th. And then when we get back, we're going to start hitting the Midwest and the U.S. with a bunch of shows. So hopefully we'll be back around, and hopefully we'll get to see people. But thank you guys for listening and just, yeah, lending your ears to new music. It's pretty cool.
All right. We look forward to you returning to Appleton.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on, man.
Starts out easier to say what you feel. Then time makes emotions into onion peels. And I guess I'm getting old, but who isn't old? It's hard to love autumn when winter's in the air. And stress about Monday makes Sunday disappear. And I can see it in your eyes. You're looking too far down the line. Don't you worry about dying, you're gonna live forever. Don't you worry about the living, they're gonna be alright. All the good you gave here is growing like a weed. You'll live forever, evergreen.
So there you have it.
Aw, dude, love a good JD talk.
I know, he's interesting to listen to. I love his stories and his insight into his music. And wasn't that story about Edgar Green's time machines quite something?
That's exactly what I was looking for.
I know, right? So really gives you something to think about, and definitely go listen to that song. So
yeah,
I had
absolutely.
To put it in the podcast, you know. So it's interesting to, you know, interview these artists. you know, learning their passion for the music, you know, and seeing how much they have in common. Obviously, they're all singer-songwriters like Sam Birchfield, who I had on previously, but they both like honed in on the fact that they just want to write music.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. So I thought it was just fascinating to hear them pretty much echo each other, you know, in right. the same manner, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily just about the performing, but it's about right. writing some amazing music. So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was kind of cool. Obviously, this was recorded prior to everything that's going on. So from what I understand, JD's album is still coming out. You can order it and he'll actually mail you a copy of the album. It was due out April 9th. But I think if you order it now, he'll send it out even sooner than that.
Oh, nice.
And his tour in April obviously got canceled as well. And I'm sure after all this has passed, he'll reschedule that.
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of JD TV, I don't know if you've ever seen this, but it's something I want to tell our listeners about because it's something everyone should check out. It's entertaining. It's a nice TV show that he puts on via Facebook Live. And so it's every Monday at 7:30. And so it's just JD talking. You know, he makes fun at the quality of it. You know, it's just something he throws together yeah. real quick, you know. And he's got showrunners and sponsors, and if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But just the way he pokes fun at it is just funny in itself. One thing he does that cracks me up during the show, and it's every time, even no matter how many times I've seen JD TV, is he goes to a commercial break, quote mm-hmm. unquote, but in order to like show transition, he takes a money bag, puts it up on the camera so it blacks out the screen, you know, and then comes back and starts going into commercial mode. So just the rustling of this money bag, and then he just pulls it away again real quickly, just gets me cackling every time. So, but that's where I heard that he was going to be putting out this album still. So
okay.
In lieu of everything that's going on. So that's great. We can use some good music.
Yes. Right, I'm now. Excited to hear some of his. I'm sure we've heard some of those new songs, but right. or we know what we have. But
right. And yeah, catching him live during Rhythm and Brews was, you know, yeah. just a wonderful experience. So
yes.
I'm glad JD could give us, you know, some music before we all hunkered down.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So I encourage all my listeners and new fans of JD to go check out his music. It's on Spotify. Obviously, you can buy the album. Any of those listening platforms you can find it on. So
yeah.
Anything else from the podcast that stands out to you at all?
Oh, man. I just like how much energy he has.
I know. Yeah.
And yeah, no, nothing. Yeah.
His sense of humor, too. Just yeah. like, just zings right in there sometimes,
right.
you know. And
I can feel like, you know, like I can imagine myself, like if I was interviewing, we'd like, you know, get bubbly, like... like when you're with your girlfriends, you know,
yeah,
like
right.
it's just so fun to talk to, and you just can't wait for your next thing to talk about. And
yeah, definitely. I know.
I love
it's a little
it.
Eager, you know, eagerness in there. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Yes, I know what you mean.
Yeah, I just love the flow. So
yeah,
he's a good energy. I like it.
Right, and you know, like you said, nothing like ending the podcast on talking about the meat packing industry. You know,
yeah, that's really funny.
So if you've liked what you've heard today, you're definitely gonna want to check out JD TV.
Yes.
It's just that humor, and he usually performs it and everything as well. So yeah, and I had coined everything JD Nation, you know, so that includes his fan base. Go become a fan in his fan group, you know, and I think, you know, we're kind of hoping to go check out Songfest this year.
Yeah.
You know, knock on wood that gets to happen.
Right.
So
yes, everybody stay home so we can go out later.
Yeah. I want to go see this.
Yes.
Anyway, so that was JD. I want to thank him again for coming on the show. He was a real sport. You know, we kind of had to do that on the fly, you know, and under circumstances. So we rushed that together, and I look forward to his return. I hope he comes back for Mile.
Yeah. Or sooner.
Or sooner, you know. So that's that.
Mm-hmm.
Just putting out my feelers for whoever can make that happen. Love you all. I want everyone to take care. Be happy. Be well. Stay healthy. Stay healthy. And stay positive.
Yeah.
You know, we just need some positivity. Focus on the good things right now. Don't dwell on the negative. You know, life is just going about its way right now. And the more we can just power through this and find the positive in it, I think we can, you know, we'll get through this. You know?
Yes,
so
we will.
Listening to my show is certainly a way to help with
yeah,
that. So
if you need to pass an hour or so, yeah. tune in.
Tune in. Thank you. If you like this, you know, I have other interviews with other artists. You know, there are now 103 episodes. So
wow.
I don't encourage you to listen to the older ones.
That's a lot of Drew.
You can never have too much Drew. Okay, you can. But when I get sick of myself, I know it's a problem. So, and it happens a lot.
Just start at the ones where I'm in them.
Oh, boy, where would that be? Can you even...
I don't know.
Yeah. There's a lot of good ones.
You'll have to listen to find out.
Yeah. If you listen, I will, straightforward, I will say if you go look through the list, a lot of the episodes that don't have numbers associated with them, that's when we were podcasting the 15-minute episodes, live episodes. So that features a lot of you in that. So
I am
trying to tell people, don't listen to me, listen to Cooper.
And I'm like, oh, I regret this.
Oh, yeah, but maybe it'll be a hit and maybe there's a spinoff in the works. You seem to think you're so good at those.
Drew will be like, where's my stuff? And I'll be in my own room podcasting like, live.
What are you doing? Oh, Cooper, producer, steals my thunder. If anyone's going to do it, I'm glad it's you. So
I learned from you, a wise one.
Oh, yes. I know how to make sure you're heard. If I'm heard, you're going to learn how to be heard. You know? So stand up, baby.
Hey, we entertain ourselves in this midst of this weirdness. Yeah. So.
Well, we entertain ourselves in the midst of anything. This is all the time.
Yeah.
I'm on all the platforms. I got to promote myself right now.
Mm-hmm.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, I have a website and all the podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Stitcher. I mean, just Google The Drew Han Show and boop, boop, boop.
You will find him.
Yes. So, or I will find you. Let's leave on that note, shall we?
All right.
Okay. Thanks again, Cooper, for joining me today.
You're welcome.
And thank you, JD Eicher. Until next time, smooches.
Toodles.
The laughter of my daughter is the heart of my father's father, and the kindness of my brother is the goodness of my mother, and the wisdom of my sisters is the sadness of the blood, because all of those before us, they knew pain and they made love. And this voice that I hear singing, oh, it comes from more than me, it's my ancestors in chorus, and their song is legacy. Not something that I need. I believe in how you lived here, and I believe you're evergreen.
You know, well, things are kind of, I'm staying home.
My producer and myself were super excited for Dan Rodriguez and Matt Hires.
He took a risk while you're hacking at him.
Yeah, he sure did. Oh, I won't believe the coughs I had to edit out of the podcast. I still have a residual cough, but again, I digress.
Anyone? No, you're not welcome to the studio at the moment,
yeah.
But
yeah,
when the cloud leaves the state, you can come and see what happens.